This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Yes, we are here. Good evening. It's 7:05 on a Tuesday night. Serena Ryan, hello.
I was just taking a breath in and you launched in without me.
Oh, well, I saw you were looking at a piece of paper.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that with our listeners. It is a beautiful balmy evening, as Ben Ryland just said. It's about 34-ish degrees. It's still quite lammy here in the city of
Melbourne. You know what I like?
What?
Men wearing very few clothes because it's hot. I was driving in and, well, I almost had a car accident because there were so much nice things to look at.
Right, a little bit of man candy.
Oh, man candy, for heaven's sake.
Oh, look at you go, love. Our technical producer, Matthew, is sitting there fanning himself and blushing ever so slightly and clutching his pearls. Gaya Van Moomba is our Matt, but that's why we love him. Yes. He who must be obeyed. Look, we've got a really cracker of a show tonight. We're chatting to Lieutenant Colonel Paul Morgan, who appeared on ABC's 7:30 report last night, chatting through the sexual and other abuse cases that have been coming through in the Australian Defence Force. We talked about him a couple of years ago. He was one of the targets of that gay hate Facebook campaign by an 40-something army personnel.
Yes, nasty personnel.
Yeah,
murders.
So we're chatting to Paul tonight, Colonel Morgan, and it's his first time chatting with anyone from Joy, so it's an exclusive
for us.
For Salt and Pepper and more broadly for the community. Paul is quite keen to touch base with the community. So what else have we got on?
We're also speaking with Serkan Ozturk. He's a journalist, former journalist, with the Evolution Publishing Group in Sydney, who are in, well, a state of parlous situation.
They're in a bit of strife tax-wise,
yes, yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, they are. They are going before the court on the 20th of March. This particular journalist has a bit of a beef. He was fired, he believes, unnecessarily. So we're going to speak to him about why he was fired, why he believes he was fired, and some of the recriminations that have followed since then. And then a little later, we're going to chat to him. People might remember we spoke to Kevin Borum a few weeks ago. He's a lecturer from the Australian National University's College of Law. Tonight we're talking to him about the Commonwealth Charter of Rights, which has been signed by the Queen. And interestingly, she's dealt with all sorts of minorities, genders, all of that, but has not addressed the GLBT members of her Commonwealth.
Yep.
41 out of 54 Commonwealth countries currently have laws opposing homosexuality and resulting in some cases, the death penalty. Curious as to why the Queen chose not to specifically mention GLBT issues.
She's on the record in her whole public life as never having uttered the words gay or lesbian. So this shouldn't be a surprise, but I think it's going to be very interesting to chat to Kevin and unpack what this actually means, what it does mean and what it doesn't mean, and he will certainly clarify for us whether or not we've got a bee in our bonnet unnecessarily or if, in fact, the writing is robust enough that it implies the ultimate goal, that which is equality anyway. So I'd be really interested to talk to
him. There is a bit about other minorities, and I believe that's where we are to fall.
I wonder how that will change, though, as the UK hurtles towards marriage equality. I would imagine that will take us out of the minority grouping, in which case I don't know that we would get so fussed about the wording. Look, I think it's a very interesting conversation.
Interesting discussion.
You know, you are listening to Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Look, last night the ABC 7:30 report aired a story featuring Lieutenant Colonel Paul Morgan, who spoke out and slammed the ADF, the Australian Defence Force's treatment of sexual sexual and other abuse claims. Colonel Morgan was one of the victims of the Gay Hate Facebook group in 2010 that we covered very early on in our life here at Joy. And he was sadly also the recipient of some death threats via email. And to date, not one of the 40 members who joined the online group were formally charged for either of the abuses perpetrated. What we would like to do is just play a little bit of audio from that meeting, from that interview last night, and then we're going to chat to Colonel Morgan.
It's incredibly important. We haven't been allowed to march in uniform before. This is the first time. I wonder if it's the first time in the world that gays and lesbians have marched in uniform.
I'm speaking out because I'm concerned about the well-being of our junior soldiers who are experiencing abuse in defence today. If I, as a senior officer, can't get Army to do the right thing, they have absolutely no hope. All forms of abuse are neglected within defence, including sexual abuse victims. I can categorically say that no matter all of the cultural reviews, establishment of the abuse tribunal, and the DLA Piper report, nothing has changed about the way defence reacts to abuse.
Nothing.
Nothing. From my personal experience, nothing has changed. I'm not really sure why not, but I suspect that our senior leadership just doesn't care.
It's a very big statement, and joining us on the line now is Lieutenant Colonel Paul Morgan. Colonel Morgan, good evening. Thank you for joining us.
And good evening to you, Serena, and Pete too.
Yes, hello, Lieutenant Colonel Morgan. I've got to get all this right.
We have to say Lieutenant.
Just Colonel Morgan is fine. Yeah, good. I can manage that if I can manage Colonel Sanders.
My friends call me Colonel Clink.
But do you know nothing?
Sorry?
Colonel Clink, doesn't he say, I know nothing?
Oh, no, that was that. Oh, I don't know. Same show, Schultz. You're right. Yep.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah,
Colonel Morgan, you've been incredibly, incredibly brave, I think, in putting this in the public eye in the interview with Hayden Cooper on the ABC. Has the dust settled? How do you feel now about the revelation and, what's been the immediate outcome?
Yeah. I feel a lot better. Until today, abuse victims haven't been able to speak out in the media. And so it was very pleasing to see General Early give permission for us to finally speak out. It is very, very risky to speak out. So it was very pleasing for him to lift that ban.
Look, I would like to take us back a little bit in time here, Colonel Morgan, and get you to walk us through, in whatever detail you're comfortable with, your experience in the ADF. And I guess you might like to start with the Gay Hate Facebook group, came before that. I mean, it's your call.
I'll actually start exactly 3 years ago this week when I received a death threat at work. It was a very hate-filled death threat, filled with a lot of anti-gay hate in it. And it came and was prompted by the Mardi Gras, which had happened just shortly before that. And it was targeted at me. And part of it was, there were lots of things in there going on. You should be drug tested, with the presumption that all gay people, who go to the Mardi Gras use drugs. Because, as you see, being a positive drug test in the Army will get your career terminated. So they were, right from the start, they were out to, terminate my career. And then 6 months later, when that hadn't worked and I had just gone on, then a colleague of mine let me know that a hate group had started trying to rid the ADF of all gays and lesbians, starting with me and five other people, but also distributing them from very vile, vile anti-gay content and videos. So I know that you said on your intro that there was a hate group and there were death threats, but there was much, much more than that. And it included massive simulated massacres in the gay bar where people with weapons would walk in and shoot everybody in the head. It would It included videos which called gay people worse than terrorists and called for their execution and so on. It was unbelievable. There were Nazi-related gay hate, death threats to my home. And so it was just an incredible, incredible time.
It sounds terribly frightening. Pete, you had a question.
Yeah, it sounds revolting. I have to wonder about the motivation of those that not just started this hate group, but have perpetrated that hate to such an extreme level. To try and understand that the Defence Force is inherently that homophobic is scary. I think that
what happened is that a lot of that material was produced by one person, and the people will be able to Google and see who that was. But a lot of soldiers joined in this campaign of hate against me and my family, and some of them might have known what hate program they were joining, and others might not have. But nevertheless, they stepped in and made it much, much worse. They emphasised that if and when I was killed, no one in my family would know which of them it was, and therefore they would all have an alibi.
Wow. Oh. Pete and I are just sort of sitting here feeling a bit stunned because we've never known the detail of this hate group.
We've all been
gagged.
Correct. Mm. And not only that, but Defence has run a media campaign of lies and deception about what it did in my case. Mm. And that has been very, very difficult to deal with.
It sounds like it's psychologically a very great burden for you. And I imagine that now that you're free to talk to the press, that there's a certain lightening there. But
yeah, that's exactly right.
I imagine that
the media of all people have been the kindest and most thoughtful and most interested, apart from the public, in this issue. So I'm very, very grateful for both the media and public interest.
So tell us, on a day-to-day basis, so 3 years ago, next week or this week, you start receiving death threats. Mm-hmm. Surely that's got to impact on the way that you approach your daily living and your relationships and your family. Walk us through the lived experience of this active campaign that jeopardised your safety, or threatened it at least.
It was very, very disturbing because, you know, the initial death threat said that, you know, these people walked past me at work. They nominated a secure base where it's not possible for civilians to come onto. And, you know, it was very, very graphic, and it references, you know, what it would do to various body parts of mine, and it referenced the fact that they literally, quote, not one inch of Australian soil will be safe for you. And that when I thought it was coming from one person, was fine. And then it was when the day I got told about the anti-gay hate group in Army, it was just unbelievable, because then I didn't know where it was coming from. And not only that, but these people were happily up there in the media in endorsing this kind of the content of the site, and they were wearing uniforms, carrying weapons, they were stating they were from the army. They had absolutely no fear whatsoever of being publicly identified. And I thought, so here I am, death threats, hate group, no fear of public identification. These people are trying to overthrow the law of Australia in terms of what happened in 1992 when the Keating government authorised the integration of the Army and Defence Force. It was just unbelievable. But I trusted that the Defence Force would do something when I lodged a complaint. Unfortunately, it didn't.
That sort of brings
and,
us...
And it, not only that, but it lied about what it did. So it just became very, very, very difficult over time.
Sorry, Colonel Morgan, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. It sort of brings me to the next question. We are speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Paul Morgan from the Australian Defence Force, who has had a gag order lifted on him so that he's able to speak. He spoke first to the 7:30 report last night about abuse that's been covered up in...
Yeah, it was actually last Thursday,
Thursday, sorry. Abuse that's been covered up in the Australian Defence Force, and people who have gone through some fairly extraordinary stuff. How has the brass in the Defence Force responded to your story? Where is the blame laid, and what action, if any, has been taken?
Okay, well, let me state categorically, no army discipline has been issued. Now, that's not what you will hear army say, but I can tell you that of the army's two systems, which are administrative sanction actions like formal warnings and military crimes prosecutions, neither of those two things have happened. The impression you would have got from Defence's and the Army's media campaign is that they took really strong action. Now, this is not the case. And you've got to remember that I worked very, very closely with very, very senior members of the Army. I mean, I was just down the corridor from the now Chief of Army, Lieutenant General David Morrison, and spoke to him personally about my case. His Chief of Staff and was working directly on the issue for a very long period of time. But part of the reason that my song, No Apologies, as you might have guessed, is that 2 days, for all the things that they haven't done, all the actions they failed to take, and all the lies they've put into the media, I've had no apologies. And therefore, I give no apologies for stepping up and saying what is happening in the Defence Force today.
Well, and we certainly applaud you for that, Colonel Morgan. Would it be fair to say that the Australian Defence Force continues to collude with the culture of homophobia and the promotion of these sorts of abuses and behaviours?
I certainly think there's a strong element of some parts of Army in particular and other parts of the Defence Force which have a strong anti-gay element to it. It's a bit like the 1950s, maybe. It's a bit like living in the past, how people would have been treated then. And the Defence Force has come steps forward. I mean, I wouldn't have joined. I have a thing where I pretty much don't do anything illegal, so I was happy when they made it legal for gays and lesbians to join. But we joined what you could call the more tolerant parts of the Defence Force, and there are still large parts of it which aren't so tolerant as the parts that I work in. Having said that, we all, as you can see, mix together, and whether or not the people I work directly with are supportive, we all go out and mix with the hate-filled parts of the Army and Defence Force.
Colonel Morgan, I wonder, my next question then is how safe are young people entering the Defence Force who are questioning their sexuality, and at what level does this go to before there is some apology made to you and to others who have suffered? Does it go to the government? Does it go to the head of defence? I mean, where's the next step?
Well, the government, in terms of Minister Stephen Smith, did make a generalised apology, as they have on a number of issues, to people who've experienced abuse in the Defence Force. The unfortunate thing about that is that, unlike all the other apologies the government has issued, the people who've experienced abuse within the ADF weren't invited. It appears, you know, if you were a victim like me, you'd suspect that people were afraid to be seen with us.
People didn't want to be seen with you because you'd been identified?
I think it's a shameful, shameful thing for the way Defence has maintained the culture of abuse over many decades.
But isn't that very much the culture of abuse and shame and toxic secrets? And, I mean, clinically this plays through, as a lot of abuse cases do, where, you know, you're left feeling alone and abandoned and quite possibly rejected, and you carry the shame of that when, in fact, you're simply you and the system colludes with the perpetrator.
It's interesting, as you say, for all the hundreds and thousands of people who've experienced abuse in the Defence Force, people can feel very, very much alone. And it's very, very much like coming out, that when you come out, you realise that there are so, so many other people who are experiencing what you've experienced. And I've spoken to quite a number of people in the last 3 or 4 days who said that they felt like they were the only one experiencing the things that I felt that I was experiencing, but how I described it was exactly what they had experienced. And my point was, when you come out and you join the community, when you join the community, you gain strength. And my point that I was making is that there is no support group for abuse victims in the Defence Force. We're not allowed to speak to each other. There's no way we can get in contact and see if our experience is like that other experience and get guidance from those people who've been through it before. But these are really really problematic things. I think the ADF could learn a lot from the experience of gay and lesbian people in coming out in terms of how to deal with abuse and support the people who are going through that very challenging time.
Paul, I think there is a lot there that the ADF can learn. You used the word victim. I wonder if you might change that to survivor, because I think with what you have suffered, you have survived. You're still here. Your strength is offering some light to others. And I'd like to read a text message we've received for you. On behalf of us all, thank you, Clink, for your bravery, integrity and support. You, sir, are a role model. Thank you so much, all of us.
Yes. What do I say? I mean, I thank people for all their support. It's just that, you know, with the isolation, I have great support from my family and, you know, from my position in the Defence Force, but my concern is really so much for the people who are, as you say, just joining, the people who are down the bottom of the system, and the people who are most vulnerable, and in order to show them that people care, I've set up a Twitter account that people can join.
We've tweeted your Twitter handle tonight on our Twitter.
Our show Twitter. Show.
Fantastic.
And we'll also, both of us have quite strong followings on our personal pages. I'm happy to pick that up on my personal account.
And we'll certainly throw it on our Facebook page as well.
Following this issue and showing any interest in the public tells junior people who are experiencing abuse that the public really is interested, and the silence they experience inside the Defence Force is not how people outside the Defence Force feel.
Lieutenant Colonel Paul Morgan, you are a credit to the gay community, and as just a generally a very good human being, we do salute you. And I know that might sound a bit twee, but thank you so much for sharing your story with the community. And we also applaud your bravery. You've done a really good thing for the community. We would like to keep in touch with you. So please, please let us know how you're going. And if there's any developments as it relates to the Army making some changes, we'd be very, very grateful to hear about it.
Well, one of these days they might actually discipline the members who joined the gay hate group.
Well, wouldn't that be a nice thing?
We can live in hope. Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel.
Thanks, Colonel Morgan. Good night. Wow, what a great guy.
Ethel Chop here. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Idiot.
Thanks, Ethel. We love her. Look, it's 25 minutes to 8, Pete.
It is. The time is flying, and I doubt if we'll even get any more music in soon, because we've got more people to chat to. The next one is on the line. Here's Serkan Oztok, a film journalist with SX Magazine in Sydney, part of Australia's largest gay and lesbian publisher, which is on the brink of insolvency and battling allegations of unfair dismissal and the serial underpayment of superannuation and other financial
entitlements
to the staff. Serkan, good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
My pleasure. Just before we go on, I understand there are some limitations around what you may be able to answer because you're currently under advice.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the case. I am willing to talk about most issues, but due to the unfair dismissal proceedings that I've undertaken against Evolution Publishing, I've got advice from the union that some matters will unfortunately not be able to be commented on.
Okay, well, broad brushstrokes here. What are your concerns to start with?
First and foremost, I believe I was unfairly dismissed from my former place of employment, Evolution Publishing, last Monday, March the 4th. This kind of followed a staff meeting we had on March the 1st, which was a Friday, where the company director, Mark Anthony, kind of publicly for the first time stated that the company was under some wind-up proceedings with the ATO and it was going to a federal court hearing. That was because an email went quite viral around the queer press scene and some of the media scene about, you know, have you seen this email? This is on Creditor Watch. We had a public meeting, a public staff meeting on Friday where the company director, I felt, was seriously underplaying and not telling the total truth of what was happening. I asked about why our super hadn't been paid for almost a year's time and also why former employees hadn't been paid their super for some cases, former employees from 5 to 7 years ago.
Because that's illegal and it's a jailable offence. Yes, that's my correct. Understanding.
Well, I'd got wind of something horrible like this was going, like not paying, a serial underpayment of super or non-payment of super was going on for the last 8 months, and the more I looked at it, the more sick I got, actually. Like, let's be honest, I felt very quite saddened that I was working for a company that was ripping off its employees and the whole queer community by the looks of it. It's really sad.
Second, it's widely understood since this first came to light that you do have an unfair dismissal claim, and also that the Australian Taxation Office's application for Evolution Publishing to be wound up will be heard by the Federal Court on March 20.
Yeah.
With that knowledge in the public domain, it could be directed at you that this is sour grapes, that you have lost your job. How do you react to that sort of comment?
That's obviously one of the first questions I've received, but I'd like to point out that, as I have in previous interviews with Crikey and to Dean Beck, I've got the support of at least five or six former senior staff who were there until like only a year or two ago, who have also been poorly treated, and once they've raised legitimate concerns, have been ostracised by the management of the place. So this is it seems to be a common story. It's not just from me, one person with a bit of sour grapes. It seems to be a culture of ostracizing people who have legitimate complaints about the direction of the organization and the ethics behind it and what the company directors are morally doing. Like, these are very serious claims, and you know they are explosive and somewhat alarming, but I think we should be alarmed because this was the largest GLBTI publishing house in Australia, and you know we're always talking about equality, freedom and community in the papers, but sadly there's not a modicum of respect for the employees or even the community, to be honest, with what's going on here.
So it sounds like the culture and the lack of governance around the management of employees has become toxic in some ways. How has that translated to the content in the magazine for the community to access?
Well, now, look, since I've gone, I have been inundated. And look, I'm not exaggerating this one, but I've been inundated by hundreds of people from the entire spectrum of the LGBTIQ community in the last week and a half. And this is by text message, phone call, emails, people contacting me from rival publications. I can leave it to you who the rivals are in our field. All of them have given me their support. They've given me their backing. They've told me a few certain other things about what Evolution may or may not be doing, and you know it has seriously concerned me. So I'm just quite overwhelmed by the support that I've received personally since all this kind of blew up into the public.
So let's move on to the next steps for you. Let's assume that you win your unfair dismissal case. If a company is wound up and therefore are not trading with any sort of solvency, how do you expect that you'll get the money that you're claiming, first of all? And secondly, does it leave a bad taste in your mouth, and will you look for journalism roles outside of the GLBTI community?
Yes, so on my unfair dismissal case, I do fully intend to win that, and I have no doubt I will. On actually receiving any monetary compensation from Evolution, look, from on the public record, it's been put that Evolution is setting up a bit of a shell company known as Evo Media, where they may asset strip Evolution Publishing as to get out of their obligations from paying their creditors and other obligations, and I suspect their creditors are employees who they owe super to. I suspect they may be trying to get out of all their obligations, not just paying me my measly amount of compensation I may or may not win at the Fair Work Commission. So I just want this to be on the public record that, you know, there's been some unscrupulous activities going on, and the more the public know about it, the better it will be, and the better it will be for the community. On the second part of your question, whether it's left a bitter taste in my mouth, of course it has. I worked very closely with the editor, Reg Domingo, at SX Magazine. We were a bit of a team, and we were doing extremely well in the content we're producing. And I'd like to think I was a large part to do with that. But he's barely supported me in all of this. He knew about my concerns for 8 months, and he barely did anything. And I feel really let down by his actions, to tell the truth. And I have been offered numerous positions already. Like, I'm not lying here, but numerous positions, both in the queer media scene, also in some, I've been felt out from people in politics. And I'm talking, bizarrely enough, Greens, Labor, and the Liberal Party, because, you know, I think the amount of reporting I did over 2 years at SX and for Evolution, I think it showed the kind of journalist I was, and I had built up a good reputation. And I have been also been feeling out offers from the mainstream media. So I think I'll be...
It sounds like you're going to be okay, Sirvan.
I think, unlike your previous guest, Mr. Morgan, I think my issues aren't as difficult, and I will survive this quite easily.
I think, you know, tonight's theme is all about surviving, and we've just been chatting to Sirkan Ozturk, who's a journalist formerly of eEvolution Publishing. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, mate. We wish you very well. Keep us posted.
I will do.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's 17 minutes to 8. We've just had a text message in from Paul in Sydney, and he says, thanks, you guys. Your interview with Clink was deeply moving. Thank you. You stop us from feeling that isolation every day. Oh, I need a tissue, and yes, I have served. Please, don't feel you need to voice this on air, but he's... Well, we're going to, because we think you're awesome. He's now a preschool teacher, and I send my next 100 really good chin-over-the-shoulder hugs at both of you. What a lovely guy.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much, Paul.
We were both felt quite honoured that Colonel Morgan actually agreed to talk to us and put his story on the table in amongst our community.
Hello, I'm Peter Hitchener from Nine News. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9, 14 minutes to 8. We've already had two quite...
Compelling
stories, and we move to a third. The Queen has signed a charter calling for an end to discrimination across the 54 Commonwealth nations, her minions, I guess, after earlier missing a function because she's recovering from being in hospital.
She had gastro. Poor love.
Whilst this is being called a significant milestone for the organisation, i.e. the Commonwealth, there are some concerns held that 41 of the 54 Commonwealth nations still have some fairly robust laws against homosexuality, criminalising homosexuality, and in some cases resulting in the death penalty. Kevin Borum is a senior lecturer at the Australian National University. We've spoken to him recently on a human rights issue, and he's very much become our go-to man.
He is, isn't he?
On international human rights and international law. Kevin, welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
It's good to talk to you again. Can you understand the questions around the fact that with 41 of the 54 Commonwealth nations having laws that against homosexuality, that the Queen's missed an opportunity?
We need to understand what this charter is. It's a charter for the Commonwealth, and it covers all the Commonwealth's principles and values. And so human rights is one and an important one of the principles it's referred to. Now, the way human rights are described is fairly good. They're described as universal and indivisible. And so there are none of the usual references to cultures and values, which usually are to code for, well, human rights are what we decide they are, not what other people think they are. So the general reference to human rights is quite good. And there are other elements of the Charter that are also good. There's a very strong reference to gender equality and the role of civil society, that is, NGOs. So it's a fairly good contemporary document on rights issues. However, the reference to discrimination refers to all forms of discrimination, whether rooted in gender, race, colour, creed, political belief, or other grounds. So there's no specific reference to sexuality.
Does that surprise you, Kevin, given that gay and lesbian as words have never passed the Queen's mouth?
Not in public, at least.
I don't think it's got anything to do with the Queen. I mean, the Queen is limited in what she says. Or her ministers give her the words that she speaks. Certainly other members of the royal family have been quite strong on sexuality issues, but that's not really the question. The Queen signed the charter as the head of the Commonwealth, and of course it was negotiated among all the Commonwealth states, and I mean, as you say, many still have discriminatory laws in relation to homosexuality. So it would not have been possible to get a specific reference to sexuality into the document. And the Queen had nothing to do with that.
But she is a signatory. I mean, she has no influence. She's just the figurehead with the pen.
Well, yes, precisely. I mean, she's a constitutional monarch, and her role in relation to the Commonwealth is even more diluted than it is in relation to the UK. She purely plays a figurehead role.
Okay, so she's the signatory. What are the elements that really need to be expanded within this document?
Well, it is a very broad document. As you would expect, a charter which covers all the principles and values of the Commonwealth. And so the broad references to human rights, gender equality, there are good references to the environment, to specific references to climate change, are there to be built on. So they're broad references which can be referred to and built on later. So, look, it's pretty much a glass-half-full, glass-half-empty type of situation. There's a very strong reference to end discrimination on all grounds, and the lack of a specific reference to sexuality is regrettable but inevitable in the context of negotiating this charter among all the states of the Commonwealth.
Okay, one thing I want to ask... In reading about the Charter, it aims to protect democracy, the rule of law, international security and free speech. I would consider that those particular individuals who are being rounded up and arrested and executed because they're cohorting with or mentioning the issues of homosexuality or mentioning their homosexuality in public are being denied free speech or being let down under the international law part of that statement? Would you agree, or am I being nitpicky?
Oh, no. I mean, the value of a broad document like this is that it can be referred to in just that sort of way. So, you know, I agree, but I mean, that's the value of a document like this, that it does provide a reference point when you want to point to particularly violations of human rights.
So, Kevin, tell me, what is the Commonwealth country's obligation to roll this out, and how will it be policed?
Good question. It's a declaration of principles and values. So unlike the UN Charter, which has specific commitments, it's not a binding document. It doesn't bind any state to do anything, and there is no enforcement mechanism. So there is no mechanism whereby states can be held to it, and that's a legitimate criticism, but that was true of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights when the UN adopted it in 1948. And it has been, the Universal Declaration has been transferred into binding instruments subsequently. So the value of a document like this is that it provides a reference point on principles and values, which, as I say, can be built on later. I should say that the story with sexuality in the Commonwealth isn't totally bleak. The Indian Supreme Court, for example, struck down the Indian sodomy statute a couple of years ago. Mm. There is progress in some of the non-Western states of the Commonwealth.
We've also just seen... Is Malta a member of the Commonwealth?
Yes.
Yes. They've just elected in the last 24 hours a new pro-gay Labour government who, whilst they've been elected on words, we might see them elected on action as well. I have one more question for you. Her Majesty is chuffing off to Chogham in Colombo, Sri Lanka, later in this year, in November. And she's been present at every one of those gatherings since 1973. Is there an opportunity for this to be expanded at Chogham to make that that allocation for gay and lesbian individuals, or do you think that we're asking too much too soon?
It's probably asking too much to expect some specific reference to sexuality. I mean, most of these Commonwealth meetings do produce a communique, but it's usually in fairly sort of soft language. So we'd have to hope it can be used in the future, but progress this year is probably a bit too much to expect.
I wonder if, Kevin, if the UK, for instance, progresses with marriage equality, which changes, obviously, the equality status of homosexuals in that country, if that might shift some of the thinking around this document in years to come.
Well, there is now a substantial group of countries in the Commonwealth, like the UK and Canada and South Africa, which New Zealand. Have adopted marriage equality. Australia, of course, is sadly not one of those states. But there is now a solid group of countries in the Commonwealth which are influential and which are prepared to promote issues of sexuality. So, you know, with all of these things, let's build on this and hope for the future.
From little things, big things grow.
We are speaking with Kevin Borum, who is a senior lecturer at the Australian National University in Canberra. Thank you again for joining us. We are most grateful for your wisdom and knowledge that you're able to bring into our program.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
To talk to you. He's a charming chappy.
Look, he is. Look, it is 6 minutes to eight. You're listening to to Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9. We haven't called for SMSs tonight, but we're getting them.
Yes.
We did have a message from someone anonymous who says, as far as I understood, Her Majesty withheld Commonwealth support in order to imprison men and women for being in same-sex relationships.
It's something to do with the charter. It's a little bit of Swahili.
We would encourage this person to resend that message because we've kind of just cobbled that together. We didn't quite get it. But interesting question around the fact that the Queen is, in fact, a toothless tiger when it comes to this stuff. She's just an old broad with a pen.
And a very fancy bank account.
And a really nice hat, quite often.
It is 5 minutes to eight here on Joy 94.9. A couple of messages, and we'll come back and wrap up before we welcome the fabulous folk from the Spirit Lounge into the studio.
Let's have a kiki.
I want to have a kiki.
Lock the doors.
Right.
Let's have a kiki.
You're having a kiki with Serena and Pete here on Joy 94.9.
I want to have a kiki.
Dive.
Turn.
Work.
Let's have a kiki.
Award-winning new Australian musical Flower Children, The Mamas and Papas Story, returns to Melbourne in May. Set in the changing world of the 60s, exploring the group's rapid rise to fame and tragic demise. Flower Children stars Casey Donovan and Matt Hetherington, featuring timeless hits such as Monday Monday, Dream a Little Dream of Me and California Dreamin'. Don't miss Flower Children at the Comedy Theatre from May 22. Book now at Ticketmaster. Joy sponsor.
Glenn from the Royal Daltons here. I may not be fussy about who I work with.
Hold on a minute.
But I am fussy about who I let in my home.
Really?
Recently, I used Joy sponsor Blunt's Electricians and they were fabulous. Fast, friendly, effective and great value. I'd recommend them to anyone. Blunts.net.au.
Bewitching people across the world. Quality songwriting. Brilliant production. This is what critics are saying about Hertz. Sony Music is proud to announce the release of Hertz's new album, Exile, featuring the current single, Miracle. Award-winning, million-selling synth-pop duo Hertz. Happiness is buying their new CD, Exile. Available now in-store and online. Joy sponsor.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are.
It is. It's 3 minutes to eight, Pete Dillon. What a jam-packed show. We do need to deeply thank Lieutenant Colonel Paul Morgan for joining us and sharing his story. Serkan Ozturk, formerly of E-Evolution Publishing and SX Magazine. And lastly,
the fabulous Kevin Borum, who is, I think he's a lovely chap.
He's our resident brains trust,
I think
actually.
He is.
We are making way now for the Spirit Lounge. They're going to come in and talk about all things
of a spiritual
nature.
Yes. And I think we need to start... I'm having an ice cream tonight. I need to stop and get an ice cream. We're going to have a bit of comfort food.
I think I'm going to go home and have a Cosmo.
Oh, isn't that what got you into trouble on the weekend?
I did. Right? I absolutely smashed it in Sydney, but that's okay. Here are the dog.
Exactly. Look, it is 2 minutes to eight here on Joy 94.9. We will be back next week for another edition.
We do have an exclusive next week.
Yes.
With Ben Cohen.
English rugby player Ben Cohen, who has left sport to defend equal rights for all of humanity, but mostly for our community. And
we're presenting that story with a clever twist because we have some particular
news
around that. So it's very interesting times on Salt and Pepper. We encourage you to come back and join us next week.
We do indeed. Until then, try and keep yourselves nice.
Stay cool, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
And we know the night is always going to be here anyway.
stones together make the sparks ignite, and the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.